A lot of it's inside. Like, that was...
Yeah.
I think that's maybe an outside-the-box one.
I don't know. I mean, I think it fits. Like, there's
it
that
fits,
whole, that, there's that whole thing with the plow. I wouldn't have a problem with it.
We're going.
Yes.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. You don't have to pick a side, but you will. I'm Dave, joined by my co-host, Mr. Ryan. You can pick one or the other, but you're getting both of us.
I'm always on your side, Dave.
He is Ryan, I am Dave. We are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, you don't have to pick a side, but you will. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. If you're right and we pick you, you will win a glorious Movies on Up prize package that will be delivered to you, even if you're snowed in. Wink, wink.
Snowed in.
Through rain, sleet, or snow, you'll get it delivered even if you're snowed in. So if you know what movie that's from, hit us up. This week, Mads Mikkelsen's in a movie that takes place.
It's called Arctic.
Okay.
I'm starting to do some research on these. There's a reason that we pick all these episodes.
But we usually forget by the time it comes to.
I have now taken to writing that down so that I can let you know. Yeah, it's Arctic. He's, I think the plane crashes in the Arctic. And he's stuck there. Does he leave his relative safety of the plane crash camp that he's built to seek rescue? Or does he stay there and possibly perish?
He's also in Polar on Netflix as a hitman trying to retire in the wilderness. Maybe he just flew to Alaska and his flight got delayed, so he just knocked out both
movies. Yeah, one of these movies takes place before the other.
Yeah.
Arctic first, because he was trying to fly to the pole and he didn't make it there.
I'm here. It's cold. I already have long johns on. Let's just make two movies in the snow. So we thought, okay, Mads Mikkelsen list would be kind of tough.
Yeah.
I love Mads Mikkelsen. I'm a shill for Mads Mikkelsen. But if we could do it, it'd be a crossover. So I thought, hey, let's do movies that take place in the snow. It's appropriate. We've been getting snow if you're in Northeast Ohio or other areas that get snowfall. Not so much if you're in an area that does not get snowfall. But we thought, hey, let's do our favorite snow movies. And sometimes these lists are the most painful or the most fun, depending on how we go about
They're painful to think about, but once you have your five, I think it really gives us some latitude to maybe mention some movies that don't get mentioned often. I mean, I couldn't fault you for thinking, oh, goddamn, movies in this, it's just going to be the fucking thing again, isn't it? Yeah. I left it off. It would be my number one, obviously, but there are plenty of movies when your brain starts thinking that do take place in the snow, and I don't know of a time we talk about them.
And that's kind of how I did. The Thing was an obvious one. Yeah. Gremlins was one that came to mind, but like we've talked about those movies so much, so I left both of those off, and I tried to think of ones that maybe we haven't talked about a ton or at all. I did have a lot of also-rans. The only thing I don't like about these kind of lists is I have probably a dozen also-rans and then my five, but I know the second we're wrapped and we have the wrap party for the episode and we all go our separate ways, I'm going to think of like, oh, mother crap, why didn't I put that on there?
Oh, Die Hard 2.
That's one of my also-rans.
Hell, a big snowstorm in that one.
Yeah, so it's one of those where the list is so open that you're always going to think of more. And I enjoyed it. I like my five movies a lot. So, Ryan, your number five favorite snow movie.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure you will. Once Upon a Time, I believe that this list may have been our most watchable unnecessary remakes.
I think so, yeah. Because Jacob's Ladder, I think, was originally coming out.
Yeah.
And got pushed.
My number five probably would have been on that list, too. It is from 2002, directed by Christopher Nolan. It's Insomnia, starring Al Pacino, Robin Williams, Hilary Swank, and Nikki fucking Cat. There's a really good possibility that I would have put Insomnia on that list. Nolan remade the 1997 Norwegian film with Al Pacino in the role played by Stellan Skarsgård. Insomnia, I think, is a really cool flick and a well-made one by Nolan. It's your standard find-the-killer thriller, with the added dimension of crookedish cops' propensity to plant and manipulate evidence. Pacino does well to lead the movie, and Swank's young Alaskan cop on the trail of the murderer, both of them, is exactly the kind of naive character that plays really well against the more grizzled, by any means necessary, cop that Pacino plays. It's a really fun role for Robin Williams, too. He's always the comic relief or the good guy, but at this point in his career, coupled with One Hour Photo, he was really tackling some darker roles. Making it difficult for these darker characters to stay in the dark is the ever-present Alaska sun that begins to weigh as much on Pacino's Dormer as his guilt. It's a really, really well-done movie. It's smart. It's got a good plot. It's acted very, very well by the leads. And I don't want to say it's one of the more straightforward Christopher Nolan movies that aren't Batman, but it kind of is.
It's
pretty accessible.
We talk about directors getting in their own way. This is Christopher Nolan, pre-Christopher Nolan movie. And I was amped for this when it came out because I loved Memento.
Yeah.
Went back and watched Following. This was his introduction to the studio system and, like, here's a wide release movie. I didn't love it as much as I wanted to. It was one of my also-rans, though. I figured it would get brought up. It's a competent movie. I like seeing Robin Williams in that. And mm-hmm. I really like Swank in this movie. It was before Christopher Nolan movies tried to tell you how smart they were. It was when Christopher Nolan movies were just...
Only to explain it to you in the last 45 seconds.
Yes, it was when Christopher Nolan movies were just smart, and they didn't have to tell you how smart they were. My number five, nobody will accuse it of being smart or pretentious. It is from 1994, written and directed by George Gallo, Trapped in Paradise, starring Nicolas Cage, John Lovitz, and Dana Carvey. I adore this movie. It's your mid-90s comedy in that range, like something like The Ref, which I guess could have technically qualified because it was a Christmas movie, but it's just your innocent, silly comedies. And this is one of those... I always get confused with Amos and Andrew, where it was Nicolas Cage and Samuel L. Jackson, but I love this movie. It's three brothers. It's Nicolas Cage as the straight man, which he could pull that off in the 90s.
Yes.
Yeah. John Lovitz and Dana Carvey get out of prison, and they want to rob a bank, but they're trapped in a small town called Paradise. And it's got a lot of heart to it, and it's one of those fun movies where, yeah, you start off with these bad guys that want to rob the bank, and it doesn't seem forced, their trajectory of their arc, like of them realizing, like, we don't have to be bad guys. Nicolas Cage is really good as a straight man. John Lovitz does what Lovitz does. And Dana Carvey, I liked Dana Carvey in movies. I really, really did. And he, at times, is a little over the top here. He kind of wasn't on a short leash at all, but he was funny. And it's just, it's a great comedy, and I feel like it's underloved. It's a really, really good comedy from the mid-90s that I don't feel like gets a lot of love now, but it's really, really good.
I like that movie, and every time I think about it, comedy about a robbery that takes place in the winter, and then I just start thinking about The Ice Harvest, because it was directed by Harold Ramis, who typically does comedies. Another good cast that I like, John Cusack, Billy Bob Thornton, Connie Nielsen. I like Ice Harvest a lot more, but I think we did our favorite Christmas movies one year that's not like Rudolph and stuff, and the Ice Harvest made that list, so it doesn't make this one. But those movies, one of them is played more as a comedy and the other's played more as a crime movie, but they do kind of remind me of each other. My number four is not a comedy at all. It played for negative laughs, but it is a movie that I wouldn't be surprised if it made your list. It's from a director that you like, a director and writer that you like an awful lot. It's Taylor Sheridan with Wind River from 2017, starring Jeremy Renner, Elizabeth Olsen, and Snow. Sheridan is not going to wow you with action or give you a zippy movie that speeds toward a particularly happy ending, but he will give you a damn good movie. Renner is excellent as a wildlife agent who seems to be much more involved in an apparent homicide than you'd expect a game warden to be. In addition to being wonderfully acted by the leads, Renner and Olsen, Sheridan really lets us see just how desolate the reservation is, the Wind River Reservation. He has a knack for making modern movies that feel like they could just as easily have been set in the 1800s frontier. Wind River does feel like Renner's character could very easily have had been wearing like skins and be a trapper. It just so happens to be modern. Elizabeth Olsen is an FBI agent. She could have been, she couldn't have been a sheriff because in the 1800s, they wouldn't have put up with that kind of business from a lady. But It feels very much like a Wild West movie, like a disembodied Wild West movie. Come for the beautiful scenery. Cinematography is wonderful. And stick around for the frontier justice. Sheridan is a guy that makes compelling movies. I mean, I don't think he's the most commercial filmmaker, but he makes really, really good movies. I mean, Sicario is probably the most commercial thing that he's got on his resume. And that was excellent. He's a really, really good...
Well, Hell and High Water was nominated for.
It was. I'm not sure that one's necessarily commercial either. But I think if you just like well-made movies that tell a good story and are wonderfully acted, I mean, I think all three of those movies, and they all have kind of a frontier element to them, River, Hell or High Water.
He makes modern westerns.
Yeah.
That's what he's done.
Yeah, I mean, Sicario does feel much like a bandit movie that could have taken place in the 1800s as well. He certainly does that very well. Like I said, if you like a well-crafted story, a well-made movie that isn't necessarily action, 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 Sheridan makes good stuff. It's just not for everybody.
This was my number one, but I'm just going to cut it off my list completely so I can add others. I love this movie. I thought it built up great. John Bernthal shows up in anything. I'm into it.
Yeah.
And he shows up, and he's for briefly, but yeah, he's great.
Zero punishings
from
John Bernthal.
He did a little bit of punishing.
Is that?
He more got punished.
Yeah, I would say.
He was the one who did the dying this time and not the one who did the killing. Spoiler,
spoiler alert.
But Renner and Elizabeth Olsen are great. I really like Sheridan's stuff. He is writing really good stuff that feels catered to me, like Sicario and Wind River. These are absolute me movies. Like Hell or High Water, I liked a lot. So yeah, I'm on board for anything Sheridan does from here on out. And I really, really liked Wind River. And I feel like I saw it late. It should have. I don't think it was on my favorites that year, but it was really, really, really good. We mentioned Sicario. Good thing about Sicario was Emily Blunt's character in it. My number four, the only good thing about it, is Emily Blunt's performance from 2007. It's Windchill. We talk a lot about actresses that have to do they'd have to do the horror movie, right, to kind of like J-Law had hers, Elizabeth Olsen has hers. Windchill is Emily Blunt. It's a small horror movie. It's her and a dude played by Ashton Holmes are in a car on a icy road, and they crash and they're stuck in the snow, and now there's ghosts and it's, you know, this hit and run that's happening over and over again. It's silly, it's dumb, it's a stupid throwaway supernatural horror movie that just happens to take place in the outside in the snow. But it's Emily Blunt. She's great. So it's one of those that, yeah, it's not a great movie.
She's good in horror movies. She'll probably get nominated for one day.
Yeah. And if she doesn't get supporting actress for the horror movie, she'll at least get best actress. It's worth a watch. It's one of those that I like going back. And when an actress gets big, I realize, like, oh, she was in that horror movie that I've seen. So you go back and watch it, and you appreciate it more. This is one of those. I like watching Emily Blunt act, and a lot of the movie is just Emily Blunt. So she carries it. If it's one of those that would have been much, much worse with somebody else.
Here is the second and perhaps last Harold Ramis mention of the show. He directed 1993's Groundhog Day, starring Bill Murray, Andy McDowell, and Chris Elliott. Generally speaking, and this may spoil or point to where the rest of my list is going, it's a bit of a bummer. And I think that makes sense. I equate snow with Inconvenience at the Least, and it's safe to say that my dislike of snow probably led me to take a look at movies that fall more on the depressing side. But Groundhog Day is my effort to at least change that up. It is no secret that I love Bill Murray, and while he will always be Dr. Venkman to me, Phil Connors is probably a much better reflection of Murray the actor. He's a guy that comes across as gruff or aloof, which is how we meet Connors, but eventually he has his resistances to doing the right thing ground away, and nobody wrote Bill Murray better than Ramis, nobody directed him better. And Groundhog Day, while it's not, I don't think it's the funniest of the Murray-Ramis comedies. Bill Murray's a guy that he does show an arc, but his characters don't necessarily go a long way to get there. I think of Scrooged, he's the TV exec, and where he ends at the end of that movie, okay, that's an arc. But I think in Groundhog Day, like, he's a dick when we meet him. But that he's that Bill Murray kind of dick where you sort of still like him anyway because somehow he's still charming. It took him a long time, a lot of suicides, a lot of punching Ned Ryerson right in the face. But he does come around to being a good guy. And I think Groundhog Day does have a pretty good message to it. I mean, it's a well-done movie. We don't see, even nowadays, we don't see a ton of these time loop movies. But when they're done well, Groundhog Day, Happy Death Day, I think they can be really good. And this was just a good example of that.
What I like about Groundhog Day is they took that Stripes and Caddyshack, they took that kind of comedy and hit it in a rom-com.
Yeah.
To widen the audience. It is that kind of frat humor from the early 80s. Disguised in a rom-com in the early to mid-90s, and it works, and I love that movie. That's one that I figured would be on your list, so I didn't put it on. Speaking of depressing, mine is from 2010. It's Frozen, not the Anna and Elsa one. It's the one,
ski lift one.
Yeah, it's the one written and directed by Adam Green, starring Emma Bell, Sean Ashmore, and Kevin Zegers. It's a competent thriller. The setup is simple. It's three white kids on a ski lift, and the ski lift shuts down, and everybody leaves for the weekend. So they're just stuck on this ski lift. It's one of those where that could go either way. It could either drag and be this terrible movie that there's not enough out of it. It could have been a 15-minute thing. Or it could be compelling and give you some cool stuff to think about. And that's what Adam Green does. And I was very pro Adam Green in 2010. He came out with Hatchet. Spiral, I thought, was a really competent psychological thriller. And then this, I thought, were really, really good. He hasn't, he made two or three more Hatchets that just kept going back to that well. And I guess he has a TV show that I haven't ever seen or heard of. But Frozen's not one of those that, like, oh, it's better than it should have been. I think of it, this is a weird comparison, similar to the movie Donkey Punch that came out around the same time. Where
it sounds ridiculous.
It sounds ridiculous, but it's a very competent, well-done thriller. I like both of those movies.
They seem like fake movies. They didn't actually make a movie about a donkey punch. Well, they did.
They did. It was actually pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's where it starts. It doesn't end with a donkey punch. Frozen seems like it would be that fake trailer you'd see in front of something, or like a fake movie poster where somebody's just being a smartass, but like you said, it's not necessarily that it's better than it should have been or better than it had a right to be. It's just what sounds like a stupid premise, they actually made a good movie from it.
Yeah, it's one of those that's easy to put yourself in. Okay, you're running from Jason or you're running from Freddy. That's hard to put yourself in. But you've
been on a ski lift? Okay.
Oh, I could make that jump. It's one of those where it's like, I would just do this. And then they do it. It's like, oh, that went terribly wrong.
Exactly.
So,
I will not do that.
It's a relatable horror movie.
My number two is also a horror movie, and it's a pretty good one that we don't talk an awful lot about on this show for whatever reason. And it's not because I don't spend time talking about Stanley Kubrick movies, because I do like him quite a bit. It is The Shining from 1980, starring Jack Nicholson, Shelley Duvall, Scatman Crothers, and Danny Lloyd. The Shining is a great movie. I don't think I'm breaking news there, but to me, it's almost more interesting to dive into the stories surrounding the movie. It's one of those rare instances where the making of the movie is better than the movie, which is saying a lot because The Shining is outstanding. And Kubrick, just because he was such a weird dude, or I don't even know what you want to call it, but it seems like making a Kubrick movie was not necessarily an easy thing to do for anyone. So his movies, almost more than any, have these just incredibly arduous productions that lend themselves to being good stories. The reason that people put up with all that shit is because he was such a fantastic filmmaker. He packed The Shining with so many iconic shots that even folks that haven't seen the movie know what's being referenced. I sat in a theater with a bunch of teenagers for Ready Player One last year, and I bet a handful, if any, had seen The Shining. But that really well-done sequence in the movie didn't seem to be lost on any of them. I mean, maybe it's extra personal for me, not only because I love Kubrick, but I feel a bit like Danny every time I find myself snowed in with Sarah. I can see her losing it, losing her shit like Jack, and I just hope neither of us have to freeze to death before the weekend is over. But you know, when we mention snow movies or being snowed in, that's the first thing I thought of, is they're literally cut off from civilization in this hotel that's inhabited by ghosts. And I think of that last scene, the maze, and how wonderfully that's filmed. And who would have figured that in a movie full of ghosts and crazy people, it would be Mother Nature that had the last laugh? I mean, just that last scene of Nicholson with basically a jacksicle is so creepy. Even in death, he's still crazy. Great performance by him. A really, really visual movie. And to adapt a story that is, you know, I mean, you can certainly paint a picture when it comes to words, but I think the movie The Shining is probably known better for the shots, the visuals, than it is even for the story.
My number two, mentioned like Emily Blunt, Windchill being near the beginning of her breaking out, and even Frozen was a director I really liked at the time. Another director I liked in around 2007, he had done movies like George Washington, All the Real Girls, Undertow, these real intense dramas that maybe weren't super accessible. And then in 2007, he made a movie with Kate Beckinsale, Sam Rockwell, Michael Angarino, Nicky Catt, Griffin Dunne, Tom Noonan, Amy Sedaris, Olivia Thirlby. And I thought, finally, David Gordon Green is getting out into the in front of people so they can see how great his movies are, with 2007 Snow Angels. It's a drama. It felt very much like his early movies. It's kind of depressing. It's slower. It's darker. But it's got great performance from Beckinsale, from Sam Rockwell, who's always great, Michael Angarino, who I'm not a big fan of. He's really good in this movie. It's just one of those intersecting lives movies that can kind of fail or be pulled off well. And he's so good. He's been honing, like he'd been honing his craft with these really intense character studies prior to this. And I really like Snow Angels, and I thought, like, wow, give this guy a studio budget, and he can make some great dramas. And then he immediately followed it up with Pineapple Express, Your Highness, The Sitter, and he's taken that road.
I thought was fun.
Oh, I loved all those movies.
Yeah,
I love
true.
Your Highness. I especially love Pineapple Express. I like The Sitter. Halloween was great. He's just one of those where he's had this weird career to where that's what he started off as, his movies. And I thought Snow Angels was like the next Adam Eugen or whatever. He's going to be the one making these dramas that are going to make people depressed for decades. And, you know, he went on to the comedy route and then horror, which I'm fine with. But Snow Angels is a really, really good movie.
My number one is from directors that I like. And if you thought that The Thing was incredibly obvious, you just wait until I tell you my number one is a Coen Brothers movie. It's Fargo. From 1996, starring Frances McDormand, William H. Macy, and Steve Buscemi. Tell me you didn't see that one coming. Fargo is, I don't want to say it's everything I love about movies, but some of the things that I love the most about movies are in Fargo and Coen Brother movies in general. It's darkly funny. It's entertaining. And for me, the most entertaining thing about the damn movie is that they tell you at the beginning that it's based off actual events, which is, I feel like, in itself a dark joke. The absurdity of the Coens is something I always look for in their films, and oftentimes that absurdity involves bloodshed, which I think does look better in the snow. We haven't recently, but oftentimes we throw around the P word, perfect movie. Fargo, for me, is very, very close, if not perfect. We like crime movies, and certainly we start with a relatively small crime. William H. Macy is trying to get a loan from GMAC, and then they basically call his bluff, so then he creates a slightly larger crime of arranging to have his wife kidnapped so he can get money from his father-in-law. And then shit just keeps spiraling out of control until we come to the climax of the movie, where Steve Buscemi's getting put into a chipper shredder. That scene is phenomenal. The scene where they get pulled over by the sheriff on the side of the road, and where that goes, that's another iconic shot. Fargo is, I think that was the first Coen Brothers movie where I kind of got it in one viewing. I was like, okay, I know what these guys do. This is it. I like what these guys do. I've liked almost everything they've done since then. I don't watch it maybe as much as Big Lebowski, but I do think it's a better movie. And I don't think I'm alone in that.
Yeah, Fargo's one I was going to have high, but I knew it'd be on yours. I'm not a Coen Brothers guy. I like some of their stuff. As a rule, I don't love them. I do love this movie, and it spawned off a pretty
really
great
TV show.
A great TV show, an anthology seasons, which is great. All very similar in tone. So yeah, this one I liked, but I knew you'd have it. My number one, from 2001, directed by the Malloys. It's an 80s ski comedy released in 2001. It is Out Cold, starring Zach Galifianakis, David Denman, Flex Alexander, Jason London, Thomas Lennon, David Koechner, Lee Majors, and then probably the toughest potential love triangle ever, Carolyn DeVernis, and AJ Cook as Jenny the friend, and then Carolyn DeVernis as Anna the crush from Mexico. I love this movie. It's legitimately funny. It's a loose ski resort. The dude wants to sell it, and Lee Majors comes in and tries to turn it into an upscale thing. And that conflicts with how they live. Jason London does what he needs to do to carry it. He's the focal point. But Flex and Zach Galifianakis and Derek Hamilton as Pigpen, they're all really good in their supporting roles. Zach Galifianakis, I loved his stand-up, and he had a show on VH1 that I loved and stumbled into this movie, and that's why I watched it. And I'm glad I did. I used to watch it all the time. It was one of those that I would watch anytime it was on. I'm not a ski guy. I'm not a snowboard guy. I'm not even really like an 80s ski comedy guy. But something about all of these characters, I just loved it. It was a really, really good comedy. And I thought it was great. And I absolutely adore Carolyn DeVernis. And AJ Cook was great too. Did you have any also-rans?
I guess my also-rans, obviously The Thing, Frozen, the Anna and Elsa
one,
pretty
one.
Obvious.
It's a good one.
Yeah. 30 Days of Night, I really like a lot.
I thought you'd have that on
there.
Yeah,
that was tough. That was kind of the last one. I mean, in fairness, I think Insomnia is a better movie, but I've got a soft spot in my heart for 30 Days of Night. A couple that I left off, you mentioned ski movies. Aspen Extreme.
I almost put that. Close. That was almost on there.
Yeah.
I think of Peter Berg running down the street naked. Like,
yep, that's it.
That one almost, but I
that
thought like
Peter Berg.
I thought about Aspen Extreme, and I thought, like, who remembers that movie? Like, that's one of those that I didn't.
Cool Runnings is kind of another. Like, when I started going down that route, I like Cool Runnings an awful lot. That number five slot was tough because it was really down to those last three.
That's why I didn't hesitate to take Wind River off of my number one. Yeah. I'd rather just throw something else on there because I couldn't decide for number five. Mystery Alaska was one of the last ones cut. That's the hockey movie with Russell Crowe where the Rangers come to play in their small town. I really like that movie. Obviously, Gremlins, The Thing, Rare Exports, Reindeer Games, just because I can't think of snow. It's not a good movie, but I can't think. And a lot of people don't know that between Die Hard and Die Hard 3, there was Die Hard 2 that was a snow movie. And then one that I kind of left off because I thought maybe you'd have it, but you went with The Shining instead, Misery.
Yeah.
And then one that I left off that, it would have been very, very high on my list, but I've talked about it a lot, and I'm hungry, and I didn't want to talk about it to make me even more hungry, is Alive.
Yep.
I saw that one a lot in theaters. So that one, I think, was an obvious one that would be high on my list, but I've talked about it a lot, and so I left it off. But yeah, this was one of those, I had fun doing that list. I liked it. Next week, we have another list. It's our favorite Liam Neeson movies. Speaking of snow,
exactly.
You need an angry snowplow driver to get that snow off the road. Cue Liam Neeson. He plows into theaters next week with Angry Snowplow Driver movie. So we're going to talk about our favorite
Gold
Liam
Pursuit.
Neeson. Yeah, that's it. We're going to talk about our favorite Liam Neeson movies next week. But yeah, until then, stay warm and
keep it up.